الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على خاتم النبيين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم Speak kindly part 1 Prayer of Attar O Lord of Mustafa Whoever reads or listens to the booklet Speak kindly part 1 Grant them the ability to speak according to the sunnah and forgive them and their parents without accountability. Ameen. Bi jahi khatamin nabiyyin sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. The excellence of sending salutations, i.e. durood sharif. The final prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, Indeed, the closest to me on the day of judgment will be the one who sends the most salutations upon me. O lovers of the Prophet, a person often needs to speak, but remember that silence is more virtuous than unnecessary permissible speech. Condemnation of raising the voice during conversation. Allah Almighty states in the Holy Quran, chapter 21, Surah Luqman, verse 19. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. وَغْضُضْ مِنْ صَوْتِكَ إِنَّ أَنْكَرَ الْأَصْوَاتِ لَصَوْتُ الْحَمِيرِ And lower the tone of your voice. The worst voice is that of the donkey. Speaking gently is a sunnah. Mufti Sayyid Muhammad Naimuddin Muradabadi Rahmatullahi Alayhi writes in the commentary of this blessed verse, Making noise and raising the voice is makruh, I disliked, and without virtue. The braying of a donkey, despite being loud, is unpleasant and off-putting. The merciful Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam liked speaking in a gentle tone and disliked speaking harshly. The Arab polytheists took pride in speaking loudly. Allama Ismail Haqqi rahmatullahi alayhi writes, When people converse, The worst and most unpleasant voice amongst them is that of the one who speaks loudly like a donkey. The pagan Arabs considered loud speech a matter of pride. This verse refutes their boastful practice. Why does a donkey bray? Since the donkey's sound has been mentioned, here is an informative narration in this regard. The greatest Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, When you hear the crowing of roosters, ask for Allah's blessings, for they have seen an angel. When you hear the braying of donkeys, seek refuge with Allah from Satan, for they have seen Satan. For example, say, A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Sneezing loudly is also makruh. Allama Ismail Haqqi rahmatullahi alayhi further writes concerning the aforementioned verse. This also clarifies the issue of sneezing, that sneezing loudly is makruh. Therefore, one should try to sneeze as softly as possible. The beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, sneezing loudly is from Satan. He sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam disliked loud sneezing in the masjid. Allama Abdul Rauf Munawi rahmatullahi alayhi says regarding this hadith, this means that sneezing loudly is severely disliked in the masjid, but less so outside of it. Face the person you meet. In chapter 21, Surah Luqman, verse 18, Allah Almighty states, بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ولا تسعر خدك للناس And do not turn your cheek away when you talk to people. Allama Sayyid Naim al-Din Muradabadi rahmatullahi alayhi writes in the commentary of this verse, When you speak to people, do not turn your face away from them in contempt as the arrogant do. Treat both the wealthy and the poor with humility. Allama Ismail Haqqi rahmatullahi alayhi writes in Tafsir Ruhul Bayan, When meeting, greeting or speaking, show your entire face to people out of humility. Do not turn your face away or conceal any part of it. It is the habit of the arrogant to look at people with contempt, and at the needy and poor with anger. Treat the rich and poor equally with good conduct. Speech should be clear and understandable. Avoid shouting or speaking in a market-like manner, for the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam never spoke like this. His blessed speech was neither too loud nor so low that the listener found it difficult to hear. The blessed speech of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam was clear and easy to understand. The mother of the believers, Sayyidatuna Aisha Siddiqa radiyallahu anha, narrates that the merciful Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam spoke in a distinct manner so every listener could understand his blessed words. The greatest Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam repeated his words three times. The servant of the Prophet, Sayyiduna Anas radiyallahu anhu, narrates that whenever the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam spoke, he repeated his words three times so that they could be understood. It is stated in Miratul Manaji regarding this hadith, when explaining rulings, the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam repeated a matter three times so that it would settle in people's minds. It does not mean that every statement in conversation was repeated three times. The manner of the Prophet's blessed speech. It is written in Siratul Jinan, volume 7, page 502. It is mentioned in books of seerah, i.e. biographies of the Prophet, that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam never spoke hastily. Rather, he spoke slowly and with pauses. His words were clear and eloquent, easy to understand and remember. When the matter was important, he would sometimes repeat the sentence three times so that listeners could firmly grasp it. The greatest and final Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam avoided unnecessary talk and often remained silent. He was granted the miracle of jami kalimat, meaning his blessed speech was concise but comprehensive. The minister who spoke in difficult language. Anecdote. Speech should be simple and clear. Using overly complex words may impress people but fail to convey meaning. Understand this point through this anecdote. Once the Minister for Irrigation visited a village, a delegation of farmers came to meet him and sent one farmer inside to seek permission. The minister looked up and asked, "Tumari kiste zar par imsal taqattur amtar hua ya nahi?" When the uneducated farmer heard this sentence, he immediately left and said to his companions, "The minister is reciting the Quran." O lovers of the Prophet, if the minister spoke simply, the farmer would have understood. He was not reciting the Quran, it was speech presented in an overly ornate manner. The minister was simply asking if it rained on the field this year or not. Therefore, whenever you speak to someone, deliver a speech or write an article or book, try to use words that are simple and easily understandable to the listener or reader. Two things that led most people to hell. Dear Islamic brothers, it is very important to control the tongue. Countless people will enter hell merely because of their tongue. Sayyiduna Abu Huraira radiyallahu anhu narrates, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam was asked, which deed will cause most people to enter paradise? He sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, piety and good manners. Then he was asked, what leads most people to hell? He sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, two things, the mouth and the private part. Who is a dweller of paradise? Sayyiduna Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu narrates that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, the person whom Allah Almighty protects from the evil of what lies between his jaws and between his legs, i.e. the tongue and the private part, will enter paradise. The guarantee of paradise. The one who safeguards his mouth and private part, meaning does not use them contrary to the Sharia, is a dweller of paradise. The companion of the messenger, Sayyiduna Sahal bin Sa'ad radiallahu anhu, reports that the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, whoever can guarantee the chastity of what is between his two jawbones and what is between his two legs, i.e. his tongue and private part, I guarantee paradise for him. This means that a promise of paradise is made for the one who protects their mouth and private part from what is forbidden by Sharia. 80% of sins are committed by the tongue. What lies between the two jawbones refers to the tongue and palate, whilst what lies between the legs refers to the private part. Therefore, a person must save their tongue from lying, backbiting, and unlawful speech, protect their mouth from consuming unlawful sustenance, and protect their private parts from adultery and fornication. Those who succeed in this are undoubtedly pious. Keep in mind that most sins are committed by the tongue. The one who safeguards his tongue will not commit theft or murder. People commit crimes only after deciding to lie if caught, saying, I will deny it. Lying is the root of all sins. This guarantee of the greatest Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, is for all mankind until the day of judgment, and the guarantee of the merciful Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam is the guarantee of Allah Almighty. The plea of all limbs to the tongue. Sayyiduna Abu Sa'id Khudri radiallahu anhu reports that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, when a person wakes up in the morning, all his limbs humbly say to the tongue, fear Allah concerning us, for we are dependent upon you. If you remain upright, we will also remain upright. But if you become crooked, we too will become crooked. Collective itikaf became a means of reform. Dear Islamic brothers, if we use the tongue correctly, its benefit will reach every part of the body. If it goes astray, for example, by abusing someone, the tongue may or may not feel pain, but the rest of the body will suffer punishment for it. To develop mindfulness about guarding the tongue, remain attached to the religious environment of Dawat-e-Islami. If Allah Almighty grants you the ability, attain the honor of performing itikaf during a Ramadan with the lovers of the Prophet. Subhanallah, here is a Madani parable highlighting the blessings of itikaf. According to the account of an Islamic brother from Mandi Bahauddin district, Punjab, before joining the religious environment of Dawat-e-Islami, he was addicted to drugs and alcohol. His addiction became so severe that he even resorted to theft to buy narcotics. This led to his family and the entire neighborhood becoming distressed. His journey towards reform began when he was blessed with performing itikaf with the lovers of the Prophet during the blessed month of Ramadan. During itikaf, he enjoyed pious company and studied the book Fizan-e Sunnat. Sometime later, he attended the weekly Sunnah-inspired congregation held at Dawat-e-Islami's Madani Markaz Fizan-e Madina in Mandi Bahauddin. Seeing the large number of lovers of the Prophet in Islamic attire deeply affected his heart. The following week, he attended the gathering again, and the heartfelt speech moved him so much that he repented from his sins and returned home transformed. He not only began offering the 5 daily prayers, but also grew a full fist length beard and wore sunnah attire. Alhamdulillah, he was also granted the opportunity to travel with the qafila to spread the call towards righteousness. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad. High palaces of paradise visible from afar. It is narrated by the 4th caliph of Islam, Sayyiduna Ali bin Abi Talib radiyallahu anhu, that the merciful Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam said, in paradise there are lofty palaces whose exteriors are visible from within and whose interiors are visible from the outside. A Bedouin asked, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam, who are these four? The greatest Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam replied, for the one who speaks kindly, feeds others, continuously fasts, and offers prayers at night when people are asleep. A good word is charity. Saying something good is better than remaining silent, and remaining silent is better than speaking vainly. Saying something bad is evil, but a good word is sadaqah. Sayyiduna Abu Huraira radiyallahu anhu narrates that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam said, a good word is sadaqah. What does sadaqah mean? Here sadaqah refers to receiving the reward of charity. The greatest and final Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam said, every good deed is sadaqah. Commentary. This means that sadaqah is not confined to giving wealth, but to every minor act of goodness, if done with sincerity, earns the reward of charity. This even includes speaking kindly and gently to a fellow Muslim brother. Invite to righteousness immediately. Do not withhold any beneficial advice, knowing that the listeners may need another gathering to understand it. Rather, explain it fully without delay. Do not say, I will tell the rest later, for there is no guarantee that either the speaker or the listener will live until the next meeting. Those with good manners will be close to the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam. The companion of the Prophet, Sayyiduna Jabir radiyallahu anhu, narrates that the merciful Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam said, indeed, the dearest of you to me and the closest to me on the Day of Judgment will be those who have the best manners. The most disliked amongst you to me and the furthest from me on the Day of Judgment will be those with bad manners, who talk excessively, speak brazenly, and fill their mouths when they speak. What are good manners? Mufti Ahmad Yar Khan rahmatullahi alayh explains this hadith. A person with good manners often performs many pious deeds and commits fewer sins. Honesty, i.e. trustworthiness, fulfilling promises, and integrity in dealings, etc., are all included in good character. Bad-mannered people often commit evil deeds. Bad manners themselves are a sin and a source of many other sins. Lying, betrayal in trust, breaking promises, and deceit in transactions are all branches of bad manners. The most harmful thing. O lovers of the Prophet, guarding the tongue is absolutely essential, for most corruption and harm arise from it. The companion of the Prophet, Sayyiduna Sufyan bin Abdullah radiyallahu anhu, narrates, I once asked the Prophet, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam, what do you consider the most dangerous and harmful thing for me? The Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam held his blessed tongue and said this: "The ear is like glass and vain talk is like stones." Allama Abdul Wahhab Sharani rahmatullahi alayhi said, "I heard Shaykh Afzaluddin rahmatullahi alayhi say that the ear is like glass and vain talk is like stones. Whenever stones are thrown at the glass, it shatters into pieces. The tongue has no bone. It is said, the tongue has no bone, yet it breaks bones. The tongue is not a sword, yet it spills blood." Someone beautifully said, "The very matters over which people quarrel and end up buried beneath tons of earth are the same matters that if one were to simply cover with a little dust, I overlook, would allow a peaceful life in this world." Calling someone a donkey or a pig. The Tabi'i elder Sayyidina Ibrahim Nakhai rahmatullahi alayhi states, "If a person calls someone a donkey or a pig, they will be asked on the day of judgment, 'Tell me, did I make them a donkey? Tell me, did I create them a pig?'" It is a sin to call a Muslim by a bad title. O lovers of the Prophet, calling a Muslim by a bad name is forbidden by the command of the Quran. Allah Almighty states in the Holy Quran, chapter 26, Surah Al-Hujurat, verse 11. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. وَلَا تَنَابَزُوا بِالْأَلْقَابِ. Nor offend one another with nicknames. Therefore, it is prohibited to give a Muslim a bad name. The noble exegetes have explained this verse in various ways. Here are two explanations from Siratul Jinan. Number one, some scholars said it refers to calling a Muslim a dog, donkey or pig. Number two, others said it refers to using any title that implies a Muslim's disgrace and is disliked by him. However, complimentary titles that are truthful are not forbidden, such as the title of Sayyiduna Abu Bakr radiyallahu anhu being Atiq, Sayyiduna Umar radiyallahu anhu being Farooq, Sayyiduna Uthman radiyallahu anhu being Dhun-Nurayn, Sayyiduna Ali radiyallahu anhu being Abu Turab, and Sayyiduna Khalid radiyallahu anhu being Saifullah. Titles that have become established names and not disliked by the bearers are also permissible, such as A'mash, the weak-sighted, and A'raj, the one who is disabled in one leg, who were both famous hadith scholars. The angel's curse. The beloved final prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, "Whoever calls a Muslim by a name other than his own, i.e. a bad name, the angels curse him." Commentary. Allama Abdul Rauf Munawi rahmatullahi alayhi, Demise 1031 AH, explains, "The meaning of the angels curse him is that the angels pray for such a person to be deprived of the rank and status of the righteous. Calling someone by other than his name can refer to using names or titles that he dislikes. However, there is no harm if one is called by words that are not disliked, such as O Abdullah or O Brother instead of their actual name. Always speak the truth to children." The companion of the Prophet, Sayyiduna Abdullah bin Amir radiyallahu anhu, narrates, recalling an event from his childhood. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam was present in our home one day when my mother called me to her, saying, "Come here, I will give you something." The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam asked my mother, "What did you intend to give him?" She replied, "I will give him a date." The beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, "If you had not given him anything, one lie would have been recorded against you." a virtuous mention of Sayyiduna Abdullah bin Amir radiyallahu anhu. Let us learn about the blessed life of Sayyiduna Abdullah bin Amir radiyallahu anhu, who narrated this hadith. His name is Abdullah ibn Amir ibn Qurays. He is from the Quraysh, and he is the cousin of the third caliph of Islam, Sayyiduna Uthman bin Affan radiyallahu anhu. After his birth, he was brought to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, who blessed him with dam. He served as the governor of Basra and Khurasan during the caliphate of Sayyiduna Uthman radiyallahu anhu. Sayyiduna Amir Muawiyah radiyallahu anhu retained him in this post. He was the one who dug the canal of Basra, and he was also known for his generosity. He passed away in 57 or 58 AH. Keep both the property and the money. Parable. Sayyiduna Abdullah bin Amir radiyallahu anhu once purchased the marketplace property of the Tabi'i elder Sayyiduna Khalid bin Uqba rahmatullahi alayh for 70 or 80,000 dirhams. Later that night, he heard weeping from Sayyiduna Khalid's house and asked his family, "Why are they crying?" They replied, "Because the house has been sold." Then he told his slave, "O slave, go to Sayyiduna Khalid bin Uqba and tell him, keep both the house and the amount that was agreed upon. May Allah Almighty's mercy be upon them, and may we be forgiven without accountability for their sake. Ameen. Bi jahi khatamin nabiyyin sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad." How was the disobedient son reformed? To increase your love for the companions and the Ahlul Bayt radiyallahu anhum, to develop the mindset of respecting Muslims' names, and to adopt the habit of always speaking the truth, even to children, become a traveller in the qafilas of Dawat-e-Islami. Listen and rejoice to this Madni parable of how a disobedient son was reformed through the blessings of Dawat-e-Islami's environment. A young man from Jang, Punjab, was once negligent of prayer and disobedient to his parents, thereby violating both the rights of Allah Almighty and the rights of his creation. One day, a relative connected to Dawat-e-Islami visited his father's shop, where the young man was also present. The Islamic brother invited him to attend Dawat-e-Islami's weekly Sunnah-inspired congregation, which he accepted and attended on Thursday. He attained such spiritual serenity there that attending every Thursday became his routine. Through the personal preaching of that Islamic brother, he was also blessed to travel in a three-day qafila to learn the Sunnah. During the qafila, the lovers of the Prophet encouraged him to enroll in a training course. When he returned home, he was ashamed of his disobedience to his parents. Sitting at their feet, he wept and sought forgiveness. They, moved by affection, forgave him. Then he said to them, "Life is very short, and who knows when it will end. I want to acquire religious knowledge whilst I am alive." With such words, he convinced his parents to allow him to join the training course. Upon receiving permission, he happily gathered his belongings and participated in the training course, where he learned a great deal. His life changed so profoundly that the one who once disobeyed his parents now kissed their feet before leaving home. Later, he completed the Farz Ulum course, i.e. the essential Islamic knowledge, and was eventually entrusted with the role of overseeing the UC Mushawarat within Dawat-e-Islami's organizational setup. May Allah Almighty grant him and us steadfastness in the blessed environment of Dawat-e-Islami. Ameen. Bi jahi khatamin nabiyyin sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad.
deceiving children with false promises. The Tabi'i elder, Sayyiduna Imam Mujahid rahmatullahi alayhi, said, "Every word a person speaks is recorded in his book of deeds. Even when he says to his child to keep him quiet, 'I will buy you such and such,' whilst he has no intention of doing so, he is recorded as a liar. Be cautious when pacifying children. Unfortunately, nowadays lies are frequently told to pacify children. For instance, without any real intention, people say, 'We will buy you toys, a swing, toffees, such and such biscuits. We will cook and feed you such and such food. We will take you to such and such place for an outing,' and so on. May our truthful Lord, for the sake of his truthful Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, grant us the ability to always speak the truth. Ameen. Bi jahi khatamin nabiyyin sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad."